So what we saw last week are we are now holding by the third generation of Teresh Baal Peh, right? Starting with the first generation, Shimon HaTzadik, and then you have Antigdush Yisoicho, and then you have the beginning of the Zugis. If you follow, this followed the idea in Chazal, the Chora is very parallel to the idea of the 10 Sfirot, right? You have the first one, and the concept is that always, in the concept of the Sfirot, you have always one which is transcending, which is Chochmah, which is Chesed, and then you have the second one, which is constraining and limiting, and then you have a third force, which is the balancing between the two. Right, like Avrom, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, the paradigms, which is the Chesed, the three Kavim, Chesed called Chagat, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. Lechera, that same pattern you have by this generation of the Genesis and development of Teresh Baal Peh. You have Shimon HaTzadik, and Shimon HaTzadik creates a transcendence that a person can go today, reach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, Avoida, and Gmulos Chasodim, that a person has the ability to reach out. Antigdush Yisoicho is the one who comes to limit and constrain, to realize that in Olam Hazeh, don't expect to see results. This idea of Nevuah, that once upon a time the physical world responded to Torah and mitzvot and etc., and a person saw results, manage expectations, constraining, and the one would Yosef ben Yochanan, Yosef ben Yoaz, create that balance between, they create the balance between two opposite forces. Yosef ben Yochanan, Yosef ben Yoaz, which come out to, like the Maral always says, is Chesed and Din together. One is the Av Beis Din, very constraining and limiting. The other one is more inclusive. It's called the Nasi. The Nasi is the one that expands, attracts, and allows. And says the Maral, as we saw last week, that this is the avoid of Bai Sheni, to create balance. So you have these three forces: expansion, contraction, and balance. Now, as we mentioned last week, last time we learned, Yossi ben Yochanan and Yossi ben Yoezer is the beginning of something called the pairs, the Zugas. And we saw last time we learned, that's the beginning of Machloikis. And what we mentioned last time also was the idea that the Zugas was that the best in the Sanhedrin became not 71, but 72. You always had somebody, according to Tosfos, which was the Mufla Shebe Bezdin. He was like the head of the Bezdin. And they incorporated the Nasi. So we saw, the Maral says, because this is the void of Bai Sheni, to have the opposites living together. We saw the Gro that's Keneged the Shem 72, that you always, you have 70, which is the development, but you have two. Usually the two were separate. Was one, the Koyen, which was basically, in some ways, the Nasi, and you had the Av Beis Din. Here they brought it together, because Bai Sheni, to combine opposites, to create some kind of a synthesis between opposites. And then we saw Rabbi Yitzchok Isaac Halevi, Doris HaShoinim, who says, because what happened was, that's the beginning of the corruption of the Kehuna. So the Kehuna becomes corrupted. And we are going to dedicate today's Shiur to see that in parallel, Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan is the beginning, this is what's called the Hasmonean Revolt. This is the beginning of the Hasmoneim. Chazal here bring you in parallel the development of the Mesorah and the transmission of Teresh Baal Peh, while there is a parallel movement happening, which is the Hasmoneim. And as we know, the corruption of the Kehuna at that time was called Pulmus Shel Yovan. This is the Greek influence upon the Jewish community. And as Maccabees, the Maccabee, in Sefer HaMaccabim, in the beginning, it says that Antiochus wanted to send a letter to try to say to the Jewish people, let's become one nation. Liyos Am Echad. They wanted to, Hellenism had an influence, and we saw before that the Hellenistic influence was l'chora accepted. But it became not only influence, but became the idea of incorporation, the idea of true cultural hegemony. And this is when the Kohanim became Misyavnim. And this is the issue that the Kohanim become Hellenized. And this creates the Pulmus Shel Yovan, which is the rebellion of Klal Yisrael to go against, to create a base. Like everything else, right? When you create something that creates too much unity, it gets to a point that that's too much, and then you need to break apart, right? Like every movement, when there is a reapproachment, it becomes entangled, and then you have to separate. Basically, the apologa, right? The same idea. And this is the story. Yossi ben Yohezer, Yossi ben Yochanan is the beginning of Pulmus Shel Yovan. Let's see the first source, Medrash Rabba. Vayorach rezreach begodo vevarcheyu. So the Gemara says, Kigon Yossi bishisa viyakum ish tzorot. Yakum ish tzorot is the famous one who goes ahead and creates a famous story. And if you go and you fall and you skip like five lines, right in the sixth line at the end, V'yakom ish tzorot haya ben achoto shel Yossi ben Yoezer. He was actually the nephew of Yossi ben Yoezer, ish tzreida. V'avya rochiv susya b'shabta, and he was actually riding a horse on Shabbos. So you have that Yossi ben Yoezer's own nephew was riding a horse on Shabbos. Ozal kumis shorisa limitztebola. So he went, so Rabbi Yossi ben Yoezer was been going taken to be killed, to actually to be, and he was actually killed, Yossi ben Yoezer. And his nephew tells him, look at the horse that I'm riding, and looks that you're riding. You're riding a horse to get killed. He says, if you, which are angering Hashem, get such a honor, imagine what I will get. That doesn't make any sense. Because in essence, you are the biggest tzaddik and you are going through what's going. The opposite. If you have to realize, if I have to suffer that much for any avirus that I did, imagine you that you're angry in Hashem, what you're going to get. Nichmas bodoker shelachna olach vikim yatzmar bisus bezdin skila srefa erg vechenek. The bottom line is that he went ahead and he committed darba bisus bezdin. And if you look at the last line, vedofa lagadev nisraf disamre biyosminezer seder biyosminezer dreamed he saw mitato parcha bavir, and he saw that his nephew was taken to Gan Eden b'shaka lakidman ez Gan Eden, and Yossi ben Yoezer was going to get killed by the Greeks. He says, my nephew went ahead of me. But the bottom line is, Yossi ben Yoezer is one of the people who are affected the most by Pulmus Shel Yovan. So this is the struggle against Yovan, against the struggle against the Hellenists that was coming at that time. And therefore you could understand something else. So look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you look at Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan, what's their focus in the Mishnah in Ovis? It's always the focus in the house, says the Maral, because Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan up here, one is the Nasi, one is the Av Bezdin, they are the heads of the generation, therefore they are talking and dealing with the same issue, they're misaken the house of a person. That's why one says, Yebeitcha patuach larvacha. The other one says, Yebeitcha beitvad lachachamim. But they're focusing on the home. Why is he focusing on the home? Because now the street, that's why you have the machloikas, right? Because this is the beginning when there is the street, the golus, the diaspora is not in Chutz Laaretz. The diaspora is in Eretz Yisrael. Imagine the Hellenists are the one running the Beis Hamikdash. So now you have to create your own space. Once upon a time, Eretz Yisrael was the space, but today is the first Golus that the Golus is in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore they have to create the home. You realize the Pulmus Shel Yovan, the struggle against Yovan starts with creating the boundaries of the home. To realize that what's acceptable is not acceptable. That's why if you pay attention, the mitzvah Chanukah is the only mitzvah that's a mitzvah on the home. Chazal say, right? Mitzvah ner ishu beisoy is a mitzvah on the home. you put it outside like the mezuzah. Mezuzah miminer Chanukah mismol. It's all built on the home. Because this, you're creating a space of difference. Look at something interesting. The Bavlin Shabbos. Yossi ben Yoetz, it's still the Yossi ben Yochanan Shalayim. What did they, what gzeros, what kind of decrees they do? Gozru Tuma Alem Esaramim. They created the idea that if you go to Chutz La'aretz, you become impure. Why? What's Nogia to Yossi ben Yoetz and Yossi ben Yochanan? So Levi Ginsburg says, the reason is because this is a time when Eretz Yisrael becomes like Chutz La'aretz. They realize that Eretz Yisrael, the Hellenizers are running it, the Beis HaMikdash, that you have to create your own space, you have to retrace back to the home. So people realize, what difference does it make to live in Eretz Yisrael, to live in Chutz La'aretz? So Yossi ben Yoetz and Yossi ben Yochanan had to basically put a mark and say, no, 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 if you live in Chutz La'aretz, it's mitam Eretz Ha'amim. Okay, so this is the idea to create a boundary in Eretz Yisrael, because in Eretz Yisrael, now for most people would say, you know something, what difference does it make to live in Eretz Yisrael or not in Eretz Yisrael? All of the quote-unquote bad influences that you have in Chutz La'aretz, you have in Eretz Yisrael also. So that's why he does Tumas Eretz Ha'amim. That's what Levi Ginsburg says. I always thought a little different. I thought that he wanted to show and to show a demarcation that there is a difference between Jews and the Greeks. Even though we incorporated many ideas of them, he wanted to put a demarcation to say that their land is metame and stumas eretz ha'amim. But be as it may, this is the time that Klal Yisrael is basically, in some ways, this is the ultimate assimilation. When the Greeks come to Eretz Yisrael, and that's called Pulmus Shel Yovan. No, their idea was because the Hellenizers, right? Let me tell you, we can only see what Maccabees, Sefer HaMaccabim, we do have, by the way, Maccabim, you spell Mem Kuf Beit Yud, not Mem Chaf Beit Yud, right? Maccabim is the war hammersmiths with a hammer, right? That's why they call Maccabim. But Sefer HaMaccabees, one of the Maccabees who tells you the story. The story was that the Seleucids wanted to incorporate Israel within a very strategic place between Syria, the Seleucids, and the Ptolemies, which were, the Ptolemies was in Egypt. So Israel was like in a very, 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 the nexus between the two Greek empires, right? The Seleucids and the Ptolemies. It was in the middle. So they want to incorporate Israel to make it part of the Seleucids. Antiochus, right? Which is Antiochus wants to make them into one nation. We all know that Alexander the Great always believed in this idea of Hellenizing. Here is an idea of cultural hegemony to a point that they wanted to basically swallow the Jewish nation as part of the Greek Empire. They're famous. It's called the Zelig syndrome. Anybody who knows Woody Allen Zelig, the Zelig syndrome. The Zelig syndrome is that the Jews always try to adapt to the environment, and clearly they were misyavdim. They became Greeks. Not only that, there was a lot of incorporation at the beginning of the Greek culture, because the Greek culture, Chazal, gave a special validity to the Greeks. The Torah could be translated into Yevonis. Rabbi Gamliel holds the only translation that's accepted the exclusion of Sefer Torah is only Greek. So Greek was part of a relationship between the Jews, and clearly the Jews were very receptive to the Greek ideas, to the point that they become very much Hellenized. And the Hellenization is the time when they become, and there is a risk of becoming Am Echad. And specifically in the Beit HaMikdash. Specifically in the Beit HaMikdash, because at that time, that was the Kohen Gadol was the one who basically ran the needs of the people. There was no Malchus. That was, you see that this creates the famous split in the Kehuna. That corruption of the Hellenizers will create something which is like everything else in the world, there is always an opposition and an extreme movement. I want to show you something so interesting. So Eretz Amim makes sense why he was Goyzer Eretz Amim. Either to say, okay, as bad as Eretz Yisrael is, it's much better than Chutz La'aretz, don't try to leave. Or to show you that as similar as the Greeks are to us, their ideas is Tome. They are Tuma, and that's why Nigzer Tuma Eretz Amim. Be as it may, this was the time that was a need to create a distinction between people who had been together. And now there is a movement of the Kohanim who believe that the Kehuna has been corrupted. That is in the time of Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Now, this Yossi ben Yoezer that was killed by the Greeks, right? What was his uniqueness? Look at the Gemara, because with the Mishnah you could get the understanding of a very important movement that's happening here. Look at the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this in the Edius. Hey, the Yossi ben Yoezer, Ish Sreida, Al Ail Kamsa, he spoke about some kind of a grasshopper, the hen, that's tohor, you could eat. Ve'al Mashke Meit Mitbachaya, and the water that comes from the Beis HaMitbachayim, from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Shechita, the water that's mixed with the blood, the Inun Dachen, that's also tohor. Now, debatable, why should it be Tome? Either should be Tome because Mashke, the Gzera, does water, does liquids become Tome or not? That's how the Bavli learns. People say maybe there is Kedushas of the Korbonis, they are mixed. Or the Ikrav b'misa mistov, and anybody who touches a dead person is Tome. Now, what does it mean is Tome? What's like is Minatoira? What's the Gzera? It's because only Vadei Tuma, not Sofek Tuma. He was Mati Sefer Tuma. V'korolei, and do you know how people called him at the time? Yosef Sharia. You know Yosef Sharia? Yosef de Mekel. People like, because they Kohanim. Why? So why they called him the Yossi de Mekel? Because he was Mekel on those three things. He was Yossi Sharia. Yossi, who was Matir. If you look at the next Mishnah, I want to show you another Mishnah. In Masechet Chagiga. Yossi ben Yoezer haya chosid sheba kehuna. He was the chosid of the kehuna. And but even his clothing were tome for Kodesh. What does it mean chosid shebekehuna? If you pay close attention to the Maccabees, there was a group of Kohanim which are called the Hasidim. And the Hasidim are the ones who were part of the rebellion against the Greeks. That was the Hasidim. And Matityahu Kohen Gadol was part of those groups of Hasidim. But those Hasidim, in the end, many of them moved away to where? To Yam HaMelech. They become the famous beginning of Qumran, of the Megillas Yam HaMelech. These are the people, and they were very, very frum, and their piety was always demonstrated in Tuma and Taira. They are the ones in Megillas, we found the Megillas HaMikdash on them, that they argue in some ways to Mashke Beit Mitbachaya. So Chazal are saying that the real Chosid Shebekehuna is not that group of extremists. They become extremists and they realize that the Kehuna is completely distorted. Matityahu was part of that group. Chazal are saying that the real Chosid Shebekehuna was Yossi ben Yoezer, even though for these people, he was to make them. They always say, like, this is the idea, right? You can never, nothing has changed. But this is Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer, you see, Chazal is so interesting for me that on this transmission, where are the Chashmonaim? You realize that I'm just telling a parallel story. Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan are the Zugas when there is Pul Moshe Leovan. This is the beginning of the Greek controversies and the rebellion of Matityahu. On the transmission of Torah, they're not mentioned, right? And the question is, why not? And Yossi ben Yoezer, this very interesting person, Chazal say that he's the Nossi, right? He is Yossi ben Yoezer. Yossi ben Yoezer is the surrogate Kohen Gadol that is in the Sanhedrin. And he's the rebellion against the Kohanim. So Chazal are saying it's not only a rebellion, Lechoira, that's Mashma, not only a rebellion against the Hellenized Kohanim, he's a rebellion against the Hasidim. Because Chazal say that he was a matir, people held him that he was too much of a mekel, and Chazal say Yossi ben Yoezer is chosid shebekuna. He is the ultimate chosid shebekuna. You realize that this group of Qumran, in my view, as you will see the next generation, is the beginning of Christianity. They are the ones who go. Now, they, everybody, you see, Chazal is, and that's the beginning of the Tzdukim also. Chazal located Tzdukim. Where does the name Tzdukim come from, according to Chazal? According to Ovid Reb Nosson, is Tzodik, which was a disciple of Antigonus Yesoicho. If you look at the Megillah of the Hasidim, of these people in Qumran, they call themselves Tzdukim because they are the real Kohanim, the descendants of Tzodok HaKohen. So they call themselves Tzdukim because they projected themselves. They say, okay, Kehuna got all distorted. We are going back to the source, which is Tzodok HaKohen. So they saw themselves as Tzdukim, it's not Tzodok HaKohen, and we call them Tzdukim because of some kind of a fringe movement. They are saying we are the real Yiddishkeit. So you realize they call themselves the Hasidim. Now, if you look at Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2, that we don't have because Chazal believed that this is Apocrypha. We're going to see why did the stories change so much. When did the candles come about? We're going to see that. But the idea is that this rebellion is the rebellion led by many of them were the Hasidim of Qumran. And they were the ones who did things that Chazal don't believe on. They were much more machmir in Tumah V'Taira. They held that you have to die on Shabbos and not fight. The idea of a chai bayim they didn't have. They were very extremists. And this is the Chotzei Shebakehuna. They did not want to transition to Torah Shebaal Peh. No, they were super machmir. They called themselves Hasidim. And Yossi ben Yoezer was too lenient for them. I mean, nothing changed. It was called Yossi Sharia. And Chazal say he is the Chosid Sheba Kehuna. So you realize that this is the time when there is this great break in Klal Yisrael. And that's why Chazal in the by the way, it's so ironic. This beginning of Machloikes that we saw, the Chazal instituted Machloikes. And then Machloikes becomes the Chazon. Even there is a Machloikes in when there is a Machloikes, a war between the Kohanim, the Frum Kohanim, and the Misyavnim, and the Hellenizers. And between the Kohanim, which are Frum, there is this extreme movement, which is perhaps the Qumran is a big debate because Josephus calls him Essenes. Or some people say they are Tzdukim, but it's the same thing. You're going to see that Tzdukim, and they are the people who held into a reality that didn't belong anymore. They went to the extreme. They saw that this world, now people are Hellenizing, so they said, you know something, you're going to go back what it was by Rishon. So they say, well, yeah, going to go back to what it was, to the past. We want to cling to the past. And that's why they didn't fit in the Beis HaMikdash. They actually go out of the Beis HaMikdash to live and to be able to have something there. But they went to cling to a reality of the past. So they were hung on to the past. Yes?
What happened to
We are going to see.
I mean, how does that fit into
So they were the fringe group of those Hasidim that remained loyal to Torah Shebaal Peh, but not so clear. Because in Chazal, and Vered Noam says that, I'm going to go and take a leap here, because we know nothing about Hashmon. We know about Titiyahu, but his children, Chazal, erased their names. You realize, always Chazal say, whenever they quote stories about Yehuda Maccabi, Shimon Maccabi, what do they say? Echad Malchus Beis Hashmonoim, Echad Be Hashmonaim. You don't hear them. They were, listen, I don't know in Bavli. Where do you have the stories of Shimon and Yehuda Maccabi? All of those were just second generation, the children of Matityahu. There were five children who became Kohanim Doelim. We don't hear about them. We're going to see. And the question is why? We're going to see that because this becomes so interesting. I'm going to show you the development of that and then we're going to get to the candles. But so what happens? There is a generation of the first generation is Matityahu, then the children become Kohanim Doelim. They become Kohanim Doelim. In the Beis HaMikdash, they become Kohanim Gdolim, they're taking over. The Hasidim, the real extremists, they realized that the Beis HaMikdash is too corrupt, and they said, we don't want to be in the house of Matityahu, you want to be in the house of Tzadok HaKohen. So they go into the desert, into the caves, and they create a group, a fringe group, that Josephus would call it the Essence. But in essence, and the Tzadokim are all the same, just different aspects of it. They are rebelling against the evolution or revolution of Teresh Bal Peh. They thought, some people thought it was too machmir, some people thought it was too mekel. I mean, you always go in between. For the Hasidim, Yosef Sharia. For the Tzadokim, for the Greeks, too frum, in between, right? This is the Chazal, this is the Yosef Ben Yehoshua, Yosef Ben Yochanan. The issue is that the second generation, right? The first generation we saw, who is the second generation? Which in essence is the third, but Matityahu, the children, is Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol who was able to stay in the Kehuna for 80 years. Yes. Shimesh b'Kehuna G'doyla Shmoinim Shana, which was an unbelievable feat when the Kehuna was so fragile or so unstable, to have somebody so stable. Now let's look at Chazal say on him. Look at Targum Yonasan in Dvorim. Right? Baruch Hashem Chelo Yipola V'Tirtze, right on the Pasuk in Dvorim, he says, V'lo Yele Sanoid Yochanan Kohen Araba Regel Mikom, that the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu was that the enemies of Yochanan Kohen Gadol should not have a standing. So imagine that the bracha that was given to Levi by Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Targum Yonasan, related to this Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And look at the Gemara's. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Hevir, Hodeyes HaMaser, Bitel HaSamir, V'Sanoik V'Yikvi. The Gemara says all the takonas that he did. Okay? The Bavli in Soita. Let's look at the next source. The Bavli in Soita says, Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shoma Baskol Mi Beis Kodesh HaKodoshim. When he went to Beis Kodesh HaKodoshim, they heard the voice. He says the soldiers that went to fight in Antiochia, they heard a voice that they won. So in other words, the wars of the Hashmonaim, Yochanan Kohen Gadol heard a baskol telling him what was the story in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Bitlosa b'tishrei b'tisat karta b'shrei. The Givel Tishrei is a yontif, because they stopped using Shem Shomayim in the documents. Shegozra Malchus Gyoven Gzera Shel Laski Shem Shomayim Al Pihim. They made a Gzera. Part of the Hellenist movement was that in the document, in the official Hellenistic documents, you should not mention God's name. Separation between church and state. That's what they did. Okay, Shegozra Malchus Chashmonoi, always, it never tells you who they are. It's Malchus Chashmonoim, the Hasmoneans. V'nisch isku shiru maskim shem shomayim afilu b'shtores. They made a takona that every document should have God's name. You realize that, how people went to the extreme. It's always people rebel and go to the extreme. The Greeks said, no shem shomayim in any documents. We are going to separate state and religion. When the Chashmonoim came in, they made a takona that every star is maskim shem shomayim. The Malchus, exactly right. But the stories by Chashmonoi, take a look how they were written. V'kach ha'yu koisvim b'shnas kach v'kach le'yoichanan Kohen Gadol, the days of Yoichanan, is the Malchus. But Malchus, Yoichanan, you're going to see Chazal, we're going to see in a second, Kohen Gadol le'kel Elyoin. He was a Kohen Gadol ta'kudosh Baruch Hu. Keshe'shomu chachomim badover. When chachomim heard that they were using Shem Shomayim by the Chashmonoim, what kind of a humor is this? They're going to put Shem Shamayim in the documents. Tomorrow, the guy pays the debt, and the document is thrown in the garbage. They said, this is like Mishigas. Let's go. This is like uncalled for frumkeit. Ubitlum, and they were mevatel this takon of the Chashmonoim. The day they were able to be mevatel Shem Shamayim b'stores, asahu yontef. They made yontef. Yochanan Kohen Gadol was, now Chazal always look at Yochanan Kohen Gadol as what? As a Kohen Gadol. He was a Kohen Gadol Shmuel Mishana. But what happens to Kohen to Yochanan Kohen Gadol? So let's look at the Gemara in the Brachas. The Gemara says like this. Omar Abaya, Abaya Shita is Tava Lohavi Bisha, somebody who is good. In the end, he's not going to be bad. In other words, you don't have to be choyshe that Shamud is a tzaddik, has gone off the derech. For the Gemara, veloy ve'aksiv b'shuv tzaddik v'tzidkos v'os avil, l'chor there's a posuk that says b'feirish that a person could get away from tzidkos and do something wrong. So the Gemara, ha'u rosha meikor, it's only somebody who was bad, then he becomes good, you have always to be afraid he will go back. Aval tzaddik meikor loy, but a tzaddik who was a tzaddik from birth, he have to assume that he'll continue. Fredig Mor Veloy, that's not. Ve'atnan al tamin be'atz mechad yom moischa. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, don't believe in yourself. Shal Yoicharan Kohen Gadol, this Yoicharan Kohen Gadol, I told Yoicharan Gadol, they heard the voice, the basko, they made million takonas, that the bracha of Levi was a bracha for Yoicharan Kohen Gadol, that his name was mentioned in Shem Shamayim in the stories. Shimish b'kiyuin ha'gdoi l'shmoinim shone. He was a Kohen Gadol for 8 years. Ulebasof nase tzduki. And at the end of his life, he became a tzduki, according to Chazal. So it's something which is always baffling to me. Meaning somebody becomes a tzduki at the end of his life? Meaning, what Yitzhar he has? He was a Kohen Gadol for 8 years. Right? Shimish b'kiyuin ha'gdoi l'. So how old was he? Was he 100 and some odd years old? And then he becomes a tzduki? Doesn't make any sense. But Chazal say, do you see it? So the Gemara asks on Abaye, 1 second, so you can't trust yourself. Omar Abaye hau yanehu. This is not talking about Yoicharan Kohen Gadol. It's Yane, which is the Greek name of Yoicharan, which is his Yoicharan's son, which becomes Yane HaMelech. He already adopts a Greek name, and he is really tzduki. Hu Yanei hu Yoicharan. Yana, it doesn't mean that you can, what the Mishnah wants to say is that you could be a Kohen Gadol for 8 years and your children will get off the derech. So it's not Yoicharan, it's his son. That's how Abaye holds. Rav Amar, Yana Lechud, no. Yana was a bad king and that's the third generation, but the second generation is Yoicharan. Yana Rosha Mikor, Yana was always a Rosha. Yoicharan, Tzadik Mikor, Yoicharan was a Tzadik, he becomes a Rosha. Always is interesting to see who this Yoicharan Kohen Gadol that becomes such a, first of all, it's so controversial that he becomes a tzduki besoif yomov. What does that mean? And what's machloek is Abaye in Rava if he was Yanai or if he's Yoicharan? So here what, you have a historical machloek is of who was a Rosha? Was Yoicharan a tzaddik, the second generation? Or was Yoicharan a Rosha at besoif yomov? Why? What's the machloek is? Now, Abaye himself tells you another story in the Gemara in Kiddushin. Ma'ase be'Yanai HaMelech is a story of Yanai. That's the story of the king Yanai. She'olach le'kruch le'shebamidbar. He went to Kruch le'shebamidbar. V'ki be'sham shishim krachim. He was a big fighter and he conquered 60 cities. U'bechazaros yasomeach simcha gdoila. And he came back. He was very happy. V'kora le'chol chachmei Yisrael. He invited everybody. And Ezra brought the people, they were very poor, and they ate salty stuff, meaning they didn't have enough, so they had to salt things to keep it at the time, there were no fridges. So they didn't have food, fresh food. We are going to go ahead and let's reenact. Now that you are so powerful, you just conquered 60 cities. He was very wealthy, so they had tables made out of gold. And they ate salty food to be able to sleep. There was a big rosha there. He told Yanai HaMelech, you should know the Prushim, the Pharisees, which is, these are the proto-chachomim, they are against you. So he says, the king asks, Yanai, what should I do? Omar hakem lohem betzi shebeneinecha. You should get with the tzitz. Now Rashi says, you get the tzitz, they're going to have to stand up. Shaul Lieberman says, hakem is loshen shvua, make them swear on the tzitz. Hikim lehem betzitz shebeneina, be as it may, he used the tzitz. Hayasham zakenech, aviuda begdid yeshmo, there was one of the skenim, of the prushim. V'yomid begdid yanamelech, yanamelech rav loch ketra malchut. Enough, be just a king. Leave the kehuna alone. That's what we want. Shayoimrim, you don't know why? Shayoimrim imo nishbez b'moidim, because they thought that Yanai is really posel kehuna, because his mother was captured. So he's, the son is a hollow. Vayivukasha davar v'lo nimtza. And what happened is they tried to find out if he was indeed not a kohen. V'lo nimtza, they couldn't find out. Vayibadlo chachmei Yisrael bezam. So Yanai separated the chachomim. V'yom elezeh b'mpuyil al Yanai melech. Yanai had yosh b'Yisrael kachu. A regular person gets upset. V'ata melech v'kohen gadol. You are melech v'kohen gadol. Kachu dincha? Then what, you're going to just be upset? So Yanai asks, this is a lesbian Peter, what should I do? Imata shomer litzos yeromzem. You should kill the chachomim. And then he asks, v'toira mati aleha? What happens to Torah? Hari krucha umunechas bekeren zavis. The Torah will be, the sefer Torah is there. Who needs chachomim? It's self-study. You have a self-study called the Torah. This is Yanai. This is the time that Yanai showed that he doesn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. You should have said, if I kill the Chachomim, I can have Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebal Peh, Mati Aleh. When you have Torah Shebal Peh. Miad v'toitzes aro al-edei loza b'impuida v'ergu kol Chachmei Yisrael. He actually killed all the Chachomim. V'yahoyla mishtoimem, and the world was desolated. Asheba Shimon ben Shetach until the third generation of the Zuga, Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach was actually the brother-in-law of Yanai. They were married to sisters. They were brother-in-laws. Ve'echziras ha-Torah li-Yoshna, and he brought the Torah back. We're going to soon see afterwards the story of the second generation, which Chazal say Yeshua ben Prachia is the beginning of Christianity. The second generation of the Zugas. We're going to see how is that possible, how that fits with the historical record. But be as it may, Yanai is the one which is that second generation of the third generation of the Chashmonaim that breaks away from Chazal, and he is caused the rebellion against Chazal. The question is, what did Yoichanan do? What did Yoichanan, his father, do? Did he become a tzduki? What's tzduki an ideology? But it's interesting in Chazal. Chazal always portray Yoichanan as a kohen gadol. But Josephus says Yoichanan was an amazing king. He became a king, and he was the one who established the kingship of the Chashmonaim. You see in Chazal that that idea of having kehuna and malchus together was against the Chachomim. This is tzduki. I always find that what Yoichanan ben kohen gadol was, is that he became a tzduki. Say, okay, I don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh. That's why Abai and Rava are debating, was he really a tzduki or not? His main aspect, what Chazal did not believe, is Hanach Keuna. He was a kohen gadol, and Chazal always portrayed him as a kohen gadol. And they did not accept his malchus. And on Yanai, they wanted to say the opposite. You know something? By being a melech, he violated his kehuna. So you become a melech and leave the kehuna alone. And they merging this idea of putting together Kehun and Malchus, this is what the Chashmonaim become. And Chazal are so consistent that there is an actual Chashmonaim Matzadikim, but Chashmonaim as a concept. But the people in Chashmonaim, we only know Yoichanan, which is Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Chazal make him a Kohen Gadol. The Malchus is not mentioned. Yanai Amelech, Chazal want to make him a Melech, or is Kohen Gadol. And we're going to soon see the Ramban, how the Ramban understands it. Yes?
You said that the Kohen Gadol was in charge of taking care of the needs of the people. He acted, Ke'ilu, he was like a man.
But he was, because he was under the Greek influence there, under the Greek Empire. Here was the rebellion. Once they rebelled, they had independence. That's the beginning of the Second Commonwealth. They become a Mamash HaMelech. This is the beginning of Malchus as Malchus. Chazal have this very interesting ambivalence towards the Chashmonaim. Chashmonaim Tzadikim. But Chashmonaim is an institution. Chazal are going to show you that Chazal were very ambivalent. Chazal believed that in Yoichanan Kohen Gadol is the beginning of the tzdukim. The tzdukim are the ones who take the kehuna and use the kehuna as a rebellion against Chazal. That's aristocracy. Chazal are always viewed, the Pharisees, the Prushim, and the New Testament, and always Josephus mentions, the Prushim were very much of a people's movement. It was a very popular movement. The tzdukim are viewed as the people who are trying to cling to this aristocracy. And Chazal understand that this already started from Antigonus Yisroel. Why? Because Antigonus Yisroel is trying to say, Torah in Olam Hazeh, as we spoke before, don't expect. The fact that you're successful and you are an aristocrat or you are very choshev in Olam Hazeh doesn't mean anything. And you could be a tzaddik and not have in Olam Hazeh. There is this dichotomy. That's the beginning. So Chazal say that this is the beginning of the tzdukim. When the tzdukim become real in that issue, is the malchus and kehuna together. The Ramban is going to mention it. But in Chazal, it's so clear. What is Yochanan, Kohen Gadol? What was his tzuki? See, Rabbi Peer says always as a joke, what do you mean that he became a tzuki? He says, no, he became who he was, but after 80 years, he wasn't frum enough, people believed he was a tzuki. So he says, like, the idea is that he stayed in time. Because how can he become a tzuki at the age of 80? The Machloek Zabai in Rava tells you a very interesting aspect. He was a tzuki because he came to the concept of tzuki, which is holding the two together, which is Malchus and Kehuna. Chazal view Yochanan Kohen Gadol as only a Kohen, and Yanai HaMelech, they wanted to make him only a king. And this is the rebellion against that. You realize that rebellion against Yanai HaMelech, the story of Yanai, this is the beginning of Christianity. When the tzdukim stay, so now the people in the caves, which were the Hasidim, break away from the Hashmonoim. So the Hashmonoim, and you realize something so interesting. The story of the Hashmonoim and the candles, when did the candles come about? Because we have two miracles in the days of Hanukkah. You have the war, the rebellion against the Seleucid Greeks that the Jews won miraculously, and you have the story of the candles that live for 8 days. Huh? Is it a year later? Leshon Acheres. Yes, what does that mean? Leshon Acheres means another year. Not the Leshon Haba. Leshon Acheres, another year. When did that come? We're going to talk about, because this in Yochanan, this is the story when the story of Hanukkah becomes, again, this is my view, becomes split. Is in the time of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. This is when Maccabees rewrite the stories, Maccabees 1 and Maccabees 2. They write the story and they don't even mention the candles. Josephus doesn't even know why Hanukkah is called the Festival of Light. They see this as Hanukkah Samizbeach. Chazal are the ones who reinterpret and say, no. The candles are telling you a narrative to reinforce the Malchus Yovan, not as the establishment of the Jewish kingdom, but the establishment of the Rosh Baal Peh. I just want to go over with you the Ramban. The Ramban is saying this idea, says the Ramban, Bereishis, this famous Ramban by Lo Yosu Shevet Mehuda. Any king from another Shevet that was a king, they were transgressing and rebelling against Yaakov Avinu. They were relying on the fact that Achia Shiloini, who was the Novi in the time of Shlomo, he went and he appointed Yerovam. And Yerovam was from, what you call, from Yosef. It says, I'm going to make Zera David suffer, leman zois, ach, lo kol hayomim. But the pasuk says, you'll be a king, not forever for Yerovam. But when they created a dynasty, an aristocracy, one after the other, and they made it a kingdom, but not just a kingdom of servants, but they made it actually that went from father to son, Overall, tzavos azoki v'nenshu b'hem. This is when they transgressed the tzavah. U'kmo she'omer Yoshea, hem hem b'lichu v'lo mimeni. V'zeh haya oynesh ha'chashmonoim shebol kol b'shem. This is the oynesh ha'chashmonoim. Keyu chasid elu, they were very frum. V'ilmar lehem nishkak kotei Rav Yitzchak Yisrael. They did something very important, because if not for their rebellion, Klal Yisrael would have been forgotten. V'alpi ken nenshu oynesh gadol. There was a terrible punishment. The children of Chashmonoi, all of them died. Yehuda and Shimon, all of them died. And in the end of their dynasty was Kolman Deomi Bes Chashmonoi Kasin of Dana, that anybody who says, I come from a Hasmonean, is an Eved. Shenichlusu kulam beovan hazakadosh baruch hu made the family and the dynasty be decimated. And you know that the children of Shimon, which is Yana, they became tzedukim. Everything is novea, everything stems from the fact that they became lochem. Chazal did not accept that. Interestingly enough, Chazal always said the Torah, Malchus, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Malchus in the Tzura HaElyoina is Peh, is the mouth, Torah Shebal Peh Karinolo. Torah Shebal Peh, the Shoresh is Malchus. When they saw the Malchus being distorted, in itself is a violation of Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh is Kebeyochol, the re-establishing of Malchus, what it's supposed to be. So Yoicharon Kohen Gadol is the one that gets and he creates a dynasty. He passes on the Malchus to his son, and he is this very successful Melech. Chazal don't accept his Malchus. And on Yanai, Chazal want to take away the Kehuna away. Veloim Zera Yudu Beis Dovid, Veisira Shevet Mechoikel Gamri, they took away the power for themselves. Yon Shemida Keneged Mida, Shemekushboch Alem, Savodim Mechrisma. Kushboch Mida Keneged Mida, Chazal understand that their lowest of the low, their servants, actually usurped and took over the power. Here is worse, because being a Kohen and being a Melech is something that you can never hold. And the idea is, Chazal understand, to be a Kehuna from any other Shevet, which is not Yehuda, that's a problem. But to have a Shevet, a Kohen, as a Melech, that's the worst thing in the world. You realize that a Kohen and a Melech are completely incompatible. You realize that by being a Kohen and a Melech, taking the political power and the religious power, meaning I always say this is lehavdil, if you put religion and politics together, this is the ultimate corruption. That's why Chazal say, you could be a melech and you could be a kohen, but you can never put the two together. The most destructive, and that's how they saw the tzedukim. The tzedukim are the ones who put malchus, power, aristocracy, dynasties together with the kehuna. Tisham res kehunas mol dvar mizbech lo beis haparoch tevatev avoidas matones kehunaschem. You have avoidance matona. The idea of kehuna is that you go ahead and you mevatel yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you keep use the kehuna as a form of control, you violate the kehuna is all about. Well, they should be worshiping Hashem, not doing any malchus. Says Yerushalayim Beferush, you can never have a melech and a kohen together. Omar Abiyuda Antorish Al Shem, the Torah Al Shem Lo Yosu Shevet Miuda. Omar Rabbi Yochiyah Barava Leman Yarchem Im Malachtu Hu Bona Bekeriv Yisrael Maksiv Has Be Bekeriv Yisrael. And what does it say in the pasuk? Lo Yie La Kohanim Halevim. Hinyoshanu Kan Shei Moishchim Lochim Nakvim Ne'arut. You cannot have Lochim Kohanim. Upirish Tchila Shehu Lechoved Yehuda Shein Asror B'Shevet Yehuda. First he said because if Yehuda belongs to Yehuda. Ve'afich Afal Bishi Yisrael Bekayim Elimelech B'Shar Shvot Im Fi Shor Im Moishchim Moishchim Shein Lemchoy Malchus. So therefore you cannot go ahead and anoint any king which is not Yehuda. Ela Kmo Shoytim V'Shoytim First Shoytim V'Yizkira Kohanim Shabi Shein Be'atz Meruim Meshicha. In a Kohen which technically has Meshicha, Ein Moishchim Lechem Malchus. You can never be a Melech. Ve'kol Shken Shar Shvotim. So the idea is that the beginning of tzedukim is when power and kehuna get blended together. And the Torah Shebal Peh is a rebellion against that, was seen as a rebellion. That's the rebellion against the tzedukim. We're going to soon see that there is a rebellion that was at the same time that the Hasidim also ran away. Right, so the Hasidim are also a form of rebellion against the Tzedukim, which is the idea of putting power together with Kehuna. Chazal come in, they are the popular movement. The Hasidim decide to go ahead and to go into the caves. And Chazal will say, so in 2 weeks, that's the beginning of Christianity, as Christianity is also rebelling against its tzaddikim.
If they were literal, why did they take pasuk of the queen has saved
you? Now, the question is, we don't know exactly their ideology. Their ideology was that this is a continuation of the world before. We expect in the world, because they, first of all, psychologically makes sense, right? Because in a world that Hashem responds to mitzvahs, the fact that you have power and aristocracy, that itself validates you as a from person. Kehuna and Malchus are together, right? You are a Kohen serving a Kodesh Bohu, and because of that, you're Zoyche to Malchus. So this is basically holding yourself back to a reality before. The revolution of Torah Shebaal Peh is happening now. So they were holding at the world before, which the Hasidim also. They saw the Choyra, the Chazal, Kibi Yochol, are creating something new, and they were holding back not to achieve that. Probably. See, we don't know what they held. Honestly, it's very hard to know. Could be that was only a brocha, not a tzavo. Lo yotzo shevet mihuda, Yaakov Yavin is giving Chazal are making from this a tzavo. They're making from it a commandment, and they say from smichus apsukim that a coin can never be. Chazal see lechoira that this is the beginning. This is Yochanan when God becomes a tzduki, when he clings to the power, and at the end of his life, he gives us a dynasty. Oh, he said, why at the end of his life he becomes a tzduki? Because it became a reality that he had to go ahead and to give over to his children. So he created from Malchus a dynasty. Creating from Malchus a dynasty violates what Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. So Yimrat Hashem, so in 2 weeks we'll continue. Reb Tzodok explains also a little bit why Hashmonaim were almost effaced from Chazal. Meaning we don't have the stories and etc. They efface them. They're called Malchus Beis Hashmonai, like if it was a corporate entity. So we see that Yimrat Hashem in 2 weeks. And we'll see also the generation of the next generation, which is, we're going to see that the next generation, Yeshua ben Prachet, Nita Yar Beili, the second generation, that's the generation with Chazal locate the beginning of Christianity, which means that's the beginning of the Hasidim creating that movement, which was against the movement of Tzdukim, which was at the time of Yochanan and Yanai.